Let's say you are working at night. Let's say you are a nocturnist when the cognitive load is so high. You have to go to rapid responses. You have to go to code blues. There are patients who are coming in from the ER. So AI is going to help you augment and help you focus on the patient's safety and the patient care and the orders.
You called it the cognitive load, right?
Yeah.
So the makers of these ambient listening systems, for example, Microsoft has one, and a company called Abridge has one. There are many other companies. But the companies that are doing ambient scribing into the electronic medical record, I haven't seen anything published yet, but they claim they have data that even if the time hasn't been reduced, that they have collected data from physicians showing that the cognitive load has reduced and that that's what actually decreases the burnout. And in some conversations I've had with people at your level, they say, you know, another way to explain this return on investment to C-suite leaders at a hospital setting would be that, you know, if you don't address the burnout and provide AI to reduce the cognitive load, then physicians will be leaving your system and the cost of replacing that physician is enormous. Well, welcome to the podcast of the American College of Artificial Intelligence and Medicine. Today we have Dr. Abneet Kumar, who is a hospitalist physician at Banner Healthcare in Arizona and truly a leader in our organization. He has completed certification in artificial intelligence and medicine along with myself at the Harvard Medical School certificate program. And he's the lead hospitalist for Banner, which is an academic university center in Arizona. And Abneet has taken on numerous leadership roles in our organization, including helping with the conference that we're about to have in September of this year in McCormick Place in Chicago. So it's my pleasure to introduce you to Abneet. Abneet, tell us about how long you've been with Banner and the story about how you got so deeply involved with artificial intelligence and medicine.
So, hey, Mel, thank you for the intro. That's a great intro. I would not have done a better job than that. So I really appreciate that. So, and I really appreciate you inviting me for the podcast. So my name is Abneet Kumar. I have been with Banner since October of 2021. And Banner being such a big system is very pro AI, and they implemented a note writing tool back in 2022 called Rigar. So I was one of the few hospitalists who were assigned to do the pilot program with Rigar. Rigar is basically an AI note writing tool that actually helps with the assessment plan. So I saw the use, and the use was so much so, and I got so interested in AI, is the amount of the time that I spent with the patients significantly increased at the bedside rather than to spending in front of a computer. So that's how I got intrigued about the role and how does AI implement with hospitalists and hospital system.
I just want to comment on that point. So people decide to become a physician and go to medical school because they want that doctor-patient relationship. They want to build a rapport and really make that human connection and help a patient. And what has happened is that the electronic medical record implementation, because it's been done not for physicians or for patients, but for billing purposes, is turned into something that has essentially taken us away from time with the patient. And instead, it's an enormous amount of time on the computer screen entering data about the patient. And so basically what you're telling me, which is what I hear in the outpatient setting as well, is if we use some type of a AI-enabled note writing system, that all of a sudden we find the joy again in being with patients and not being glued to a screen all day and all night long. So I love that you identified that on the inpatient side. Now, I want for our audience, I want you to recognize that Avnit is truly a pioneer. He's one of the first people ever to implement AI on the inpatient side. It's been done very much on the outpatient side, but the work that Avnit is doing is truly pioneering. And what are the key lessons that you learn from implementing AI in hospital medicine?
So the first and the foremost thing, as I already said, is I'm a very big supporter of having to call families, because if the patient is sick and the family is scared, patients are scared. So you spend more time at the bedside. Also, from the administrative perspective, you have more billing opportunities. Like you can, means you can document that the diagnoses that are 100% going with the patients, that increases the billing for the hospital system. The other part that I learned is, as a physician, we get in the hospital system, we get the coding queries, a lot of the CDI coding kind of queries. If you use AI, my CDI numbers have significantly gone down after using that. So, and also to the point, hello. Yeah. So also to the point that we have to also realize that AI that we use in our hospital system is 100% HIPAA compliant. So any questions about them or any kind of hesitancy on that regard should not be a part of the implementation.
Now, many hospitals are hesitant to implement AI, maybe because it's new and there's uncertainty and there's fears. And what do you identify as someone who has actually implemented it at a massive academic center? What are the biggest barriers to implementation? And for our listeners, what do you advise them to do to overcome these barriers?
So change for any human being is hard. Means as it is, our nature as a human being is not to have a lot of changes in our life. So any, as you said, any new implementation, any new change will be hard. So there are hesitancies regarding FDA regulations, HIPAA compliance. There's also resistance from the physicians. They will say, "Oh, my notes are great. I don't need an AI to write my note," and also the cost. So first and foremost, the AI program that we use is 100% HIPAA compliant. Secondly, if there is a patient resistance, we have to show return on investment. There has to be a measurable return of investment, like readmissions should be lower, length of stay should be lower, and also the burnout, physician burnout, and the workload will be lower. So if we can show those metrics, I think that will be an implementation, like that is how it should be implemented into any system.
Now let's go on to your point about burnout. The electronic medical record has in this notion of where we are at on how doctors have to personally type in every little piece of data about what the patient says has created this burnout to the point where maybe over half of physicians no longer want to practice medicine because of this. But you and I both know that implementation of ambient listening systems and note writing systems and scribing systems, both in the outpatient setting and then the something that you're an expert in, which most people are not, is on the inpatient setting. How have you seen that reduce burnout and improve workflow efficiency?
So you bring a very good point, Mel. We actually did a survey on people who were hospitalists who were using the AI note writing tool to do the assessment and plan, and those who were not. There was a significant amount of decrease in the charting time by hours per week that you can implement for the patient care, patient safety, especially in high risk patients who are in ICU or the progressive care or intermediate care. And also it can suggest like the labs or the drug-to-drug interactions and the imagings. So I think that is how it has helped.
So just to follow up on that, currently what we know in the outpatient setting about ambient listening systems is they, number one, do not actually decrease the amount of time that doctors spend because they have to carefully check the notations. But it does reduce burnout when they've documented extensively that it reduces the level of burnout and stress amongst the physicians using it. Physicians are definitely in a better place when they use it in the outpatient. But what we're learning from you are two important points, that if it's used on the inpatient setting, it may actually may reduce the number of hours spent documenting, which is an important point that our listeners would not find that anywhere in the literature yet. So this is a one pearl. The other pearl that is very exciting to me in the work that you're doing in this area is that the ability to lead to patient safety, quality improvement, better care in terms of the flow of how medications are ordered, reordered, catching of errors or preventing of errors. The potential there and the case examples that you have personally observed are so exciting that AI on the hospital side or AI for hospital medicine has the potential to cause major quality of care improvements, major benefits to patients. And I know that you have had many case examples at your own institution every single day where the quality of care has even been better. And this to me is so exciting, and I am in our hospital medicine lab group that's virtual that Dr. Kumar leads. We are publishing on the patient safety and quality improvement benefits of AI when implemented into hospital medicine. And Amnit's going to actually do an entire 1 hour session at our national meeting going over the studies and the papers on AI and hospital medicine, the evidence behind all of these benefits. So if you're listening and this sounds interesting to you, consider coming to live to Chicago McCormick Place to listen to Dr. Kumar present the studies and the data that have been published in the last 1 year on the benefits that we're seeing in hospital medicine. Now, what are the biggest challenges in hospital medicine that, and how can we use AI to solve these challenges?
So, coming back to the point of patient safety, I want to say just one thing. Like I admitted a patient yesterday. So they had an MRI done about a year ago, and the patient left against medical advice. And the patient had a CT scan done, and it showed the patient might have a discitis/osteomyelitis. Patient was asked to go for MRI, which she left against medical advice, and the patient came back yesterday for fevers and very high white blood cell count. And the AI picked it up from a year ago. In the meantime, patient has had multiple outside visits from Banner, like not in Banner, outside of Banner. So the AI picked it up and said the patient had a CT scan done about a year ago, which showed this. So I did not have to go back a year because on the EMR, it is cumbersome to go back a year and see what imagings were done. So that is something that I'm very happy and proud of, this AI program that it picked it up, and the patient is found to have the bacteremia today, and it's most likely from that.
Wow, that is a great example of a use case
Yeah.
scenario where AI could be a difference maker. I know that you have many examples that you'll be sharing with us over
Yeah.
the next year in that regard. How do you see AI reshaping hospital medicine over the next 5 years?
So I will say, I think the AI will be very helpful in predicting the readmissions. It will be very helpful in predicting falls and like code blues, rapid responses. I think it will be very helpful in that. And also it will streamline integration with the EMR, so reducing the time spent on the chart. Also, I think maybe in the next few years, it will also help a triage inpatient and those patients who are waiting in the ER. So I think that is how it will help in the hospital-based patient setting. And also, we have to understand that our resources are not unlimited. So it can also help with bed management and staffing.
Now, I
So,
know that you are the lead hospitalist at your Banner institution and that you take on quite a few leadership roles. Most hospitals and health systems now, the bigger academic centers like where you are, in the last 12 months have created a position and are hiring for a position called Chief AI officer, which is actually different than chief innovation office or chief information officer. So, chief AI officer has now become a standard amongst the C-suite major medical centers. What do you view as the role of leadership in adopting AI in the hospital setting? Given that you are in leadership, what do you see from a leadership perspective hospitals need to do?
So as a hospital leader, I think the leadership should be able to pinpoint where the AI can be most impactful. We just cannot have 15 different AIs and they're not talking to each other, and it will be the same as different EMRs that we have in the different system and they are not talking to each other. We don't want that. We want integration, and we also want to have a place that we know that it's going to be most impactful, like fall risk or bed placement management, ordering, or anything like note writing like we use. And also, we, as a leader, we'll have to ensure that there is efficient buy-in. Like as we talked before, change is hard. So we'll have to pick up people who are amenable to change, ask them to use this as a pilot, and then show them the return on investment, and so all the metrics on that. So I think that's where the leadership will be helpful in the hospital
Now,
setting.
you alluded to the benefits of reducing risks such as falls. How does AI-driven predictive analytics help with falls, readmissions, adverse drug events? What's been your experience with that?
So I was reading a few studies, and there are studies that actually identifies patients based on their vitals, their age, their BMAT score. So BMAT score is mobility index score, and it can predict the falls. So if the patient has a higher fall risk, we can have a bed in the hospital that is a little lower than a usual bed, and we can have the rails up all the time. For the readmissions, it's very easy. The AI will obviously predict patients who have a chance or a risk of early deterioration and proactive intervention, and they can follow with their PCPs or the consultants outside within a day or two of discharge. My
Now,
so my
I know
sorry.
you're a big proponent of quality improvement and patient safety, that actually many people that are working in our organization and leadership like yourself are very much interested in this AI impact on patient safety and quality improvement. Now, you have shared with me that you have been working on AI-powered patient safety initiatives. Can you share some examples, other than the one you already did, on how AI can improve outcomes?
I think the AI will be a big focus for like medications errors. Like if the patient is on two anticoagulation or if the patient is on two long-acting insulin. So I think that is where AI should be used. I mean, if you go back to the question about the leadership and how does the leadership will impact it, I think that any hospital that is anyone who's listening to this and who are in the leadership, they should place AI tools in reducing medication errors and thus leading to improved patient safety because this is a very easy, measurable reduction. And leading to safety in the patient and also decreasing readmissions for the patient.
It's interesting, but most of the experts in the field, like yourself, refer to this as low-hanging fruit. In other words, something we can do today and implement right now that would be a huge difference maker, and we should do it. And I'm so happy to hear that you're doing it at Banner and that you're having success. Now, another area in the last year that has received a lot of attention from experts in the field is how does AI get implemented for clinical decision support or CDS? And in your case, for hospitalists, what do you see happening for hospitalists in that regard?
So our tool that we use, it actually gives us, it actually consolidates all the labs and imaging and the vitals. It will also consolidate the labs that is from almost a year and a half ago. Because it will give you the lab trends. So you don't have to scroll through 15 different pages to go to the lab that you want to look at. So let's say TSH, hypothetically, it's a very easily available lab. So let's say the TSH was done in 2024, November, October. It has been 6 months almost. So it will give you that data right away. You don't have to go and find it or to search for it. Let's say echo. Echo results ejection fraction of 15-20%. So let's say it was done about a year ago and the patient had a fallout and did not follow with anyone. So I think that is how it helps a lot in the clinical decision making for us as a hospitalist.
Now, what new skills should hospitalists develop to stay relevant in this era of AI and medicine? I know you and I have taken a certification course, but what do you recommend for hospitalists to stay at the cutting edge of AI and medicine?
So to answer this is a very important question because sometimes a physician will think that AI is gonna take over our role, which is not true. Hospitalists don't have to become data scientists, to be honest. They just should understand how to interpret the AI recommendations. If they take the course that we took from Harvard or there are like so many courses, I think you took it from Stanford as well, right, Mel?
Well, I'm on my fourth certification program. So I did Northwestern Kellogg School of Business, then I did MIT AI and Healthcare, then with you I did Harvard AI and Healthcare, and I'm doing the Stanford AI and Healthcare. And interestingly, each one is completely different, even though the title is the same. And the content and the principles and the things that I and projects we work on in each one are unique, and each one has value. And my goal is, since I'm on a mission to teach physicians about this, I want to get input from the leaders at Harvard, at Stanford, at MIT. These are the places where the so-called gurus of AI and medicine are. So there's something to learn from each one of them. And then through our organization, with your help, we're going to teach the current practicing physicians about all of this. A good way for a practicing physician to get updated without having to put in the time that you and I did for certification is just to go to a national meeting like the one we're having in Chicago and, you know, get away from the hospital setting for a few days, immerse yourself in some education, get CME credit. We're offering CME credit. See the beautiful city of Chicago. It's really gorgeous in September. So a lot of suggestions as to why, if you're a physician out there, especially a hospitalist, why you might want to get updated just through a two-day conference. But we certainly would encourage you to do one of these 8-week certification programs, because then you take your knowledge up a notch. How do you advise physicians who seem skeptical about AI and hospital medicine? What would you tell someone who's a skeptic?
So, as we both know, we are both physicians and we have worked in the multiple different hospitals and other settings. AI is an augmentation tool. It is not a replacement. That's the first thing that we should all understand. And also, like, we took a class from, like, I took it from Harvard. You have taken 4 or 5. I think taking a class will be really helpful. And attending the conference that we are organizing in the month of September in Chicago, I think it will be a great asset to anyone who is on the fence to come and see what AI has changed in the world of medicine. And also, all the podcasts that you have done, people should listen to that, because that will show what success the other hospitals have, how much has it reduced the burnout and improved the outcome about patient safety with AI. So I think these are the few things which we can start, which the people who are hesitant should start with.
I love your point about podcasts, because in the post-COVID era, I find that most physicians actually do their learning while they're driving to and from the hospital, or maybe at home while they're multitasking, and then they're listening to an educational content through a podcast. That seems to be the most popular way that people learn nowadays who are like us, you know, the professionals who are in practice. They tend to learn and stay up to date nowadays via podcast. That is like a really good way. You could be out exercising, either outdoors or indoors, but listening to your podcast. You could be driving to and from the hospital and listening to your podcast. So the fact that you can multitask, you can have education on during these periods of time. And so the potential to learn in that way is amazing. So we release a podcast every other week on, you'll find it on Apple and Spotify. And I think it's a great way for anyone out there to really scale up their knowledge in an almost effortless way, just listening to something while you're driving to and from the hospital. Now, how do you see AI impacting the role of hospitalists in terms of augmentation? I mean, you and I don't believe that AI would ever replace a physician. So let's focus more on augmentation.
So, no, usually people don't talk about this, but there is something called the cognitive load. We see so many patients every day in and out, like, and those patients are sick. So I think AI assists with data synthesis and letting us focus on the decision making for the safety of the patient and the outcome and the best outcome for the patient. I think this is how it will augment, and it will also it will give you the data in a consolidated place. Like for our AI tool that we use in our hospital, it gives all the data at like one place, and it would also show where the source is coming from if you want to go and check that source. So I think these are the two very easy examples of how it's going to augment. So let's say you are working a night. Let's say you are a nocturnist when the cognitive load is so high. You have to go to rapid responses. You have to go to code blues. There are patients who are coming in from the ER. So AI is going to help you augment and help you focus on the patient's safety and the patient care and the orders.
Now, what are the so I want to just go back to your really good point about you called it the cognitive load, right?
Yeah.
So the makers of these ambient listening systems, for example, Microsoft has a one and a company called Abridge has one. There are many other companies, but the companies that are doing ambient scribing into the electronic medical record, I haven't seen anything published yet, but they claim they have data that even if the time hasn't been reduced, that they have collected data from physicians showing that the cognitive load has reduced and that that's what actually decreases the burnout. And in some conversations I've had with people at your level, they say, you know, another way to explain this return on investment to C-suite leaders at a hospital setting would be that, you know, if you don't address the burnout and provide AI to reduce the cognitive load, then physicians will be leaving your system, and the cost of replacing that physician is enormous, as you and I both know. So that's currently the spin on the benefits of AI right now in 2025. The part that I'm most interested in, and we're going to focus on our conference if you guys listening attend, is not so much this piece. All of this has been established now. It's the next frontier, which is how do we deploy and implement AI to improve patient care? And what's really cool is Avneet has done so, and he has improved patient care in the hospital medicine world, and he is one of the very first on the planet to do so. That's why he's here on the podcast today. So I'm going to have you tell us about trends. So this will be one of our final questions here, but what are the upcoming AI trends in hospital medicine that excite you the most?
So there are a few, but I will mention one or two. So the first is, as I said, triage. So let's say a patient, there are four or five patients coming in the ER. ER is very busy. AI can help us to triage and put the patient into the right bed. A patient should be going to intermediate care unit, should be ending up in intermediate care unit. If they end up in the OBS unit, as we know, there is increase in patients, there's increase in cost, there is also use of the resources that we don't need to be used in observation unit. Those patients should be going to the PCU side. Second, they should be able to predict the readmissions and ICU admissions. If the patient is deteriorating, the patients give us the signs. We just have to read them in a way that we can analyze those signs and symptoms in the labs. So I think AI will help us with that as well. The other thing is, I think, as you have mentioned in the outpatient setting, there is like listening AI tools, and I think that can also help in the hospital settings as well. So these are the three that I'm very excited about.
Great. So I just want to give our audience some perspective. Most of the FDA approved algorithms for AI, there's currently 1,050 AI approved algorithms. 75% of those are in radiology. And I attended the radiology conference called RSNA. It was almost exclusively focused on implementing AI in radiology this year. And the radiologists are really at the cutting edge of all of this. But what I wanted to share with our audience is that internal medicine physicians, myself, Dr. Avneet Kumar, also, our chair of our scientific session, Alex Dumet, and our executive vice president, Dr. Anne Slessoritis. The four of us are leading this conference that we're about to put on in Chicago, McCormick Place. We are all ACP members and fellows. But more importantly, all of us are hospital physicians, internal medicine physicians. So what you're going to see is, unlike many conferences which are focused on the radiology piece, you're going to see a different spin here, which is what we do in internal medicine is evidence-based medicine that's focused on internal medicine. So this conference, you will hear Dr. Kumar speaking on artificial intelligence in hospital medicine. We will have sessions on artificial intelligence and all the subspecialties within medicine, including cardiology, critical care, gastroenterology, nephrology, oncology. Every subspecialty that has a fellowship in internal medicine, we will have a session on that by an expert at the same level as Dr. Kumar. So, Amnit, number one, thank you for being the pioneer in hospital medicine. Truly the pioneer. The work you're doing will save millions of lives worldwide. Thank you for doing this work. And more importantly, thank you for taking a leadership role in the organization on so many levels and not only agreeing to speak at our conference, but to be one of the instrumental people who are helping to coordinate and put on the conference. And we're so excited you're going to come live all the way from Arizona to Chicago to be with us at the conference this year. And it's really been delightful having you on the podcast today. And thanks for sharing insights that are not yet published, but I know you will be from our AI and Hospital Medicine Lab group. We have a very robust program focusing on hospital medicine, quality improvement, patient safety, and deploying AI to do those things. So, thanks to everyone for listening today. And if you like what you heard, please come live on September 19th and 20th to Chicago McCormick Place to our annual scientific session.
All right, Mel, I really appreciate your time and having me on the podcast.
All right, and we'll see you guys again in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening.
All right, Mel. See
Bye.
you. Bye.
If you enjoyed what you heard here today, consider becoming a member of our professional society by going to www.americancollegeaim.org and click join. Also, don't forget to save the dates. September 19th and 20th, 2025, we'll be having our first ever scientific session at McCormick Place right here in Chicago. Go to our website to register to attend the conference. We hope to see you all live in Chicago, and we look forward to having you tune in to our next podcast on Melvin Monday here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube.